You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chipped ham and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. What's up? What's up? Brian Batko back with you from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined on today's show by Charles Davis of CBS, longtime NFL broadcaster and analyst. You just heard him Sunday on Steelers Browns up in Cleveland. And I was joking with you a couple weeks ago at practice, Charles. You're basically becoming a part of the Pittsburgh media corps with the amount of Steelers games you're calling lately. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Yeah, it's funny with our crew, and I think it happens to a lot of crews. You go into a season, you get your first three games for your schedule, and you never know how it's going to break. But invariably during a season, you end up with one team more than others, and you're never sure how it's going to come at you. My first year with CBS, for some reason, it was Las Vegas. We ended up doing like five Raiders games. My second year, I think we ended up being, I can't remember, but last year we were embedded with the Jets.
Okay.
And we rode the Jets like crazy. And I think we ended up doing six or seven Jets games. I remember we were in New York City. Well, we were in New Jersey 3 weeks in a row, two Jets and a Giants game at MetLife every week. So it kind of happens like that. It's one of those strange deals. And, of course, this week at Cincinnati, as we're all on to Cincinnati, that'd be three straight weeks to Pittsburgh and I think five overall. So I think everyone in Pittsburgh would be very happy to see me go somewhere else. But, you know, one good thing is that when you deal with the Steelers, you deal with a really great organization. So that part is good for us as broadcasters.
Yeah, and you deal with the annoying beat writers, but that's just a minor. That's just a minor.
I wouldn't use the word annoying. That's your word.
All righty, man. Well, we certainly will. We'll get into Steelers, Browns, Steelers, Bengals, and when we had Ian Eagle on your heart back in week five or whatever, we kind of had a feeling the AFC North was gonna stay relevant, stay interesting for a while. So we both kind of figured we'd be seeing a lot of each other. Yeah. We'll get into the Steelers' offensive ineptitude with you on this episode, presented as always by Pella. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to save on energy costs year-round. Find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss. That's 866-593-1560 to get started with Pella windows and doors of Pittsburgh. Charles, speaking of that Ravens game from earlier this season, I remember during that broadcast, you were talking about the offense playing, right? And Mike Tomlin compared it to a golfer who's maybe a little tight, over gripping the club. And I got that feeling again Sunday at Brown Stadium. But as this keeps happening, I also get the sense that a lot of our listeners and viewers are maybe ready for a new swing instructor or maybe even a whole new set of clubs. I mean, what do you make of this latest display? I mean, I called it a high school-esque stat line, 106 yards passing for Kenny Pickett. It was 94 until that last desperation pass.
Yeah, I would have killed to have had that as a high school quarterback that had 106 yards passing. I played for a coach who was the old Woody Hayes. Three things can happen when the ball's in the air and two of them are bad. So I would have loved to have had 106 throwing it.
Well, that's not too unlike the Steelers these days.
But for me watching it, the over-gripping – yeah, it was then. I don't know that it's over gripping now. I think it's just searching for something that will work. I mean, I feel like Matt Canada and crew are trying to run through the menu a little bit and trying to get there. But a couple of those receivers, like especially George Pickens, he is a deep ball guy. He's a guy that downfield is going to be better. There's not a lot of that and almost none on Sunday. I remember one throw downfield, and it was the throw down the deep fade, and Deontay Johnson broke off his route, so he thought he was supposed to break it off at a certain point. Kenny Pickett thought he was going to go on the go ball, and that's what I remember, truly the ball going downfield. The rest of it is much more slants, you know, swings, checkdowns, screens, running back and tight end. Things of that nature, and why they are there, you know, I'll be talking with Matt Canada again this week and asking those types of questions about where we're going with the passing game, but they have their own thoughts and understanding about where it is. But I felt like Sunday, it was both quarterbacks, because Dorian Thompson-Robinson, right, DTR, I want to get it because on a broadcast, yeah. I actually reversed it at one point, DRT. They didn't trust him throw the ball downfield either. I mean, Cleveland with their defense, Pittsburgh with its defense, both sides are like, look, let's see who makes the biggest mistake first. Let's not blink on it. And that's kind of how that game was played.
Sure.
And because that's how it kind of went. And it was a very strange, the best way to put it is very strange in terms of, we know you guys are sitting on our routes. We know that we're being conservative. But opening it up just didn't seem to be an option really for either side.
Sure. And I guess, you know, building off that, and I certainly agree with you that those were like two teams, mirror images to a certain extent. And all the way down to the last 2 seconds, it was just one team got that extra field goal and the other didn't. But I think what would be maybe disheartening to some Steelers fans is that DTR, nice job on the self-scout, by the way, Charles.
I messed up getting your own film
and getting it wrong. But yeah, so I think what maybe discouraged some Steelers fans is he's a rookie fifth-round pick making his second start playing that way for the Browns. And Kenny Pickett's a first-round pick a year ago. I'm not sure off the top of my head what number start this will be for him against Cincinnati, but I think people want to see a little bit more growth, a little bit more progress from him. And evaluating himself after the game in the press conference room over there in Cleveland, he said, you know, they wanted the plan was to take more deep shots. He thought they were going to play a lot of man, and he thought they played more zone than they'd seen on film. You know, that's hard to say right in the moment. And as a programming note, we're taping this on Monday morning, so while it's all fresh in our mind,
yeah,
if there are any seismic changes that come to the Steelers, or if anything else does get said or done in the next 24 hours, maybe we missed it. But I don't know that I really had that vantage point from the press box, and I think it was more about the miscommunications that you alluded to than any sort of defensive plan being a step ahead of theirs.
Hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And the pressure that Cleveland brings, Jim Schwartz,
yeah, that hurts too.
I felt like what Kenny said in the press conference that you're quoting was true. I felt like they wanted to take more shots and try and open things up and go, because a lot of people are not really challenging the Cleveland secondary right now. Denzel Ward, everyone knows about, number four overall pick. Greg Newsom, a number one pick who's playing in the slot. But MJ Emerson's a third rounder out of Mississippi State who's playing really well. Like, he's their secret that no one talks about. Big, long, physical corner, and they just kind of line up and go, all right, what you got? Because they feel so comfortable with what's happening up front and the pressure that Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, and crew bring, that they just they walk around with extreme confidence that they can cover you. They're not worried about it. I just thought that right out of the gate when Pittsburgh was backed up and it should have been a safety, well, they brought a nickel blitz right on the first play. Like, they, you know, they, a lot of times you go into base defense and go, they're going to try and wedge it out of here and run it. Okay, here they come. Schwartz kind of guessed along. Is like, yeah, let's just go ahead and bring pressure, because even if he doesn't throw it, that's an extra guy in the run game. And he brought the nickel. And because he brought the nickel, that actually sparked something up front, and Miles Garrett beat Dan Moore with an inside move and was right there. And it should have been 2 points, should have been a safety. They missed the call. But bottom line is, that's what Jim Schwartz brings at you all the time. So if you want to take the deep shots, you got to block them up.
Yeah.
And they have a tough time doing that. And everyone has, I know Mike Tomlin said, everyone has a tough time in Cleveland. I get all that. But you know it's coming. You know that's what they're going to bring. Somehow you have to block that up, bring in extra people if you want to take those kind of shots. And Pittsburgh struggled to do that on Sunday.
Yeah. Now, the Ravens did put 30-some on them the previous week. Now, I know that even I think the biggest Kenny Pickett, non-believers could probably allow that Lamar Jackson should be much further along in his development at this point. Yeah. But it did just go to show that it is possible to maybe spread them out a little bit and find some ways to beat Cleveland. Ravens didn't win, but they scored enough to win for sure. Their defense let them down too in that game. But I there was also Kenny Pickett. He usually speaks in coach speak after the games. He's a quarterback. He's good at that.
Normal. Yeah.
Najee Harris, though,
not quarterback speak.
No, he was. I don't know if you got wind of his comments yet, yeah. Charles. But
I've seen some of it. Yes.
Yeah, he had a lot to say that kind of boiled down to we're broken. We got to fix it. Winning these close games and not scoring much is not sustainable. And I think one of the bigger threads that went sort of unsaid by him, but was implicated heavily, was we're too predictable on offense. And he acknowledged that players have said this in the past from opposing teams. Sometimes that's just one of those, you puff your chest out and say things when you win and you stop guys, but it does seem to be coming a trend, and it's something that's on his radar. The one play specifically that I think to that reminds me of that yesterday, it wasn't Najee, it was Jaylen Warren on a swing pass to the left, and the Browns just sniffed it out immediately. Yep. I don't know if there's something Kenny
about Pickett, the one where three Browns were in the flat. Yes. They ran to it pretty fast.
In the moment, I'm even like, oh, geez, now you're about to get your best offensive player, maimed by getting him gang tackled by three guys. He didn't have a chance. So that play, I don't know if there's something Kenny Pickett needs to recognize. I don't know if Matt Canada has an answer for that, but that just screamed, hey, Schwartz and the defense, they're a step ahead of what you guys are trying to do on offense right now.
Yeah, and ordinarily Jim and crew are. I think you go back to Baltimore and you talk about the points Baltimore put up. Lamar Jackson makes you more cautious because of his ability to break contain, his ability to have quarterback run game, his ability to, if you blitz him in the pocket, which is a school of thought, you bring extra bodies in to keep him hemmed in. But the fear is if you miss, now he's going to go. And boy, that's a big breaker right there. So sometimes teams play a little more cautiously against him in that way. I'm not saying that's why they put 30 on. I'm just saying it's a different deal. With Kenny Pickett, you're not going to be quite as cautious. Can Kenny escape? Can Kenny make some plays with us? Absolutely. We've seen that. The Green Bay game, he takes off and goes and picks up a big first down. We can see those things. But it's not going to be Lamar Jackson. You're not going to lay awake at night worried about Kenny breaking you with his running. But you're going to say that about most quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson's a whole different animal. So it changes what you do that way. I do know, if Najee's suggesting predictability, that happens a lot because his runs didn't pop. Now, Jaylen Warren had one that popped big. And because of that, now I haven't done the math, but let's take away the 74-yard run.
Yeah.
Take that away with the other eight runs, what's the average?
Yeah, it's not looking too good.
It's hard sledding against that Cleveland front because the way they do it, they want to take that away. They want to get you into that. Look, Jim Schwartz makes no bones about it. If we control first and second down, here we come on third down because he's counting on third and five, third and six, third and eight. Because if he's getting that and winning it, and that's what he's just like, hey, you guys want to try and run against this on first second down, go be my guest because we're going to stuff that. You've got to come up with other things. I think Pittsburgh was searching for those answers. Is it the quick game? Is it the so many different ways, you know? But the hard part is, as fast flowing as Cleveland is on defense, if you don't hit it right there, they will run you down. And that is
behind.
That was Pittsburgh or anyone else. If you don't hit it, they run you down, and that speed at every level on that defense.
For sure. All right. Well, last thing I want to ask you about, Charles, before we let you go in these final few minutes here, let's get on the brighter side. We just talked about him, Jaylen Warren. Are we seeing a star in the making right now with this guy? I mean, back-to-back weeks with career highs, and that 74-yard run was awfully impressive. Yeah, but there's also now some loud whispers that maybe he needs to be touching the ball more than 22 at this point for this offense.
Yeah, and that happens too, and he's a heck of a player. He really is. I think that what their plan is to have both of them operating is a good, sound plan. But I will give – here's where I have to give credit, because they didn't score a ton of points, duh, right? They didn't win the ball game, duh. Yeah. But down the stretch when they were trying to get – remember it was 10-10, Brian, and we're in the fourth quarter. Jaylen Warren was the hot runner at that point for Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh recognized it and went with it. You and I both know when you have a number one selection at running back and an undrafted free agent, a lot of teams are going to lean on the first round pick, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. The Steelers have recognized that Jaylen Warren gives them something that's impressive for them, gives them that little bit of jolt, electricity. Not that Najee Harris doesn't have purpose. The Green Bay game showed that. And I do think as we go deeper into this and we're playing in the cold weather, 240 pounds can mean something for you if you give him a chance. But if he's not getting to the line of scrimmage, because I said this is rookie year. Some of his most impressive runs, Najee Harris's, were to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. He was getting beat up that year.
Just all right. So that, you know, in this ball game, it was reminiscent of that. His runs didn't give him a chance to make anything pop. Go back to the Green Bay tape. He had an opportunity, and boy, he turned it into something. Had that 24-yard run, had that nice run for the touchdown where he barreled through some people. We got Broderick Jones on the pole and getting up into the hole. But Jaylen Warren, there's something special there. I agree with that. He gives them something that, you know, this the old, you can't totally quantify it, but you know it when you see it, and it's right here in front of us. And they decided at that moment in time, he was the guy. They only subbed him out because he'd stayed on the field 7-8 plays or whatever. And then Najee came in and they tried to throw the ball. But, yeah, we can say what we want. But the Steelers, they're not looking at, well, first-round pick, undrafted free agent. I'm always going to lean on the first-round guy. If the other guy's hot, he stays in. And I saw that on Sunday. Now they've got to figure out how they're going to continue to do it come Cincinnati time and get back to being that team we saw run the ball the previous two games.
For sure. And it's always easy to second guess, but maybe they should have tried to get the ball in 30's hands there on that final series instead of the three throws. But, you know, if you hit one, then all of a sudden, Kenny Pickett's Mr. Fourth Quarter again. So that's the name of this game.
And that's the hard part. And we'd be remiss without talking very quickly that Pittsburgh defense always gives you an opportunity. Always gives you an opportunity. And they've got to find out on the offensive side how to take advantage of that opportunity, because it's absolutely there. Right, because Cleveland had everything going their direction.
Yeah.
I even talked, and I was like, you know, if you're Cleveland, it behooves you to try and get yourself a gap, because if you go into the fourth quarter and they're still hanging around,
that's what they do with what they do best. Yeah.
They have been the body snatchers, and they've come back and gotten people. And those people have gone home and looked at the stat sheet and gone, what just happened here?
Yeah, when you drop the body snatchers line on TV, I was like, it feels inevitable what's about to go down right now with the Steelers, and yet
it almost happened again Sunday. It almost happened again on Sunday, so they're always in it. You know, one thing, that team, that culture, that confidence about who they are, being the Steelers, hard to kill. So you better come ready to go and be 60 minutes with them, even while they're struggling to move the ball on offense.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks so much, Charles. I know you're busy, so I really appreciate you jumping on with us for this show. And I will see you in Cincinnati yet again. So.
We're on to Cincinnati, Brian. See you there.
Absolutely. See you, Charles. See you in the
press box. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, man. Take care.
Thank you.
All righty, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Charles Davis with us from CBS, one of the great ones who does it. And I'm glad that we've become friends here over these last few seasons as I've covered the Steelers. That's going to do it for us today on the Post-Gazette Podcast Network. Our last couple words come from First Goldberg, Persky, and White. If you were diagnosed with mesothelioma or lung cancer, call your local attorneys at Goldberg, Persky, and White. For more than 40 years, their firm has represented thousands of lung cancer and mesothelioma victims. Call 1-800-COMPLEX or visit gpwlaw.com for your free consultation. And of course, as always, our final word comes from Propel Schools. Propel's 13 public charter schools in Allegheny County build a solid academic foundation for lifelong learning and offer more personalized instruction at every level for your child's kindergarten through 12th grade education journey. Give your children the quality education they deserve. Learn more and apply to Propel Schools by visiting propelschools.org. Great stuff from Charles Davis. Really a lot of chalk talk, X's and O's to try to at least maybe give you a little different perspective on this Steelers offense than maybe you came into the week with. I know it's difficult. It seems like we're singing the same song, writing the same stories, having the same discussions, talking the same talk week after week with them. But, you know, I think he at least kind of tried to drill down to it a little bit, explain maybe why it was so ugly at times on Sunday against, yes, let's admit, a very good Browns defense. And that's what we try to do on this show. Hope you've been enjoying it every Tuesday. Chip Tamman Football, get a former Steeler or a national voice like Charles, like his partner in the booth, Ian Eagle, and just, you know, get the 30,000 foot view of the Steelers. Although Charles has a much closer, you know, vantage point than that, being that he's been calling so many of their games. Really a super nice guy. And thanks again to him. For Charles Davis, I'm Brian Batko. Thanks as always for watching us. We will have plenty more content for you the rest of the week as we go into Steelers Bengals on Sunday in Cincinnati.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.